Cornwell and Reda El-Maoui. But first, playing for us here in the World Roots studio is a champion of the music of the Garifuna people of the Caribbean coast from Central America, Aurelio Martinez.
Larugu babe ya nagura babu, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu. Chere 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 tu betu, moke una busi pote, maladi maladi damu, maladi de la jenes. Chere 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 tu betu. Manque una pussy pour terre. Maladie, maladie d'amour. Maladie de la jeunesse.
Hey, bra!
Arahaya. Agura babu. La rugu babe ya nagura babu nate. Larugu babe ya nagura babu, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu. Ma fage, la rugu babe ya nagura babu nate, la rugu babe ya nagura babu, la rugu babe ya nagura babu nate, la rugu babe ya nagura babu.
Larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate. Larugu babe ya nagura babu,
larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu, larugu babe ya nagura babu nate, larugu babe ya nagura babu.
From Honduras, the Garifuna singer Aurelio Martinez with the title track from his new album Larubeya, and he was joined there by Carlos Castillo on bass and backing vocals, performing in the World Roots studio. We'll be hearing more music from Aurelio and talking about the amazing history and future of that music later on in the programme. But for now, I'm joined round the World Roots table by journalists and writers Jane Cornwell and Reda El-Maoui. So, Jane, from your part of the world, on the other side, what's the latest?
Well, the latest thing I'm really excited about is Narasirato, who are a group of panpipers from the Solomon Islands.
What are Narasirato like, Jane?
Narasirato, well, they're from Otorama village and from Malaita Island, which is one of the 1,000 islands that make up the Solomons. And everybody in their village plays panpipes, basically. There's a 104-year-old man who plays panpipes. There's 6-year-old kids that play panpipes. This group are all related. They play a variety of instruments from something called the thongophone, which if you imagine a great big series of panpipes kind of bound together but played with flip-flops, two very small panpipes. They play conch shells and they have incredible choreography. They wear traditional garb and a lot of their music takes inspiration from their ancestors. So there's the sound of birds, animals, there's paeans to sharks, etc. And it's quite extraordinary.
Well, that's the UK debut broadcast of a new live album that will be coming out in May by the group from the Solomon Islands called Narasirato. And that will be from an EP entitled Tangio Tumas, which is pidgin English for thank you very much, I gather. That's and it's right. Coming out on the label Smash Records. So are they a well-known group, Jane? I have to say it's my first time of hearing of Narasirato.
Well, I would say they're well known in their village, since the whole village seems to be in the group. They did a couple of performances, or in fact a tour of Australia 2 years ago, and went down an absolute storm. But I think that this really is their launch to the world, and I think they have the incredible potential to be very big, because to watch them live, they are incredibly entertaining.
That was a live recording. That was them
that's
live.
That's right. That was a live performance. So to watch that, if you imagine a lot of dancing, a lot of naturally funky moves, a lot of humour, combined with respect to the ancestors and respect to their belief system, which is called Waratoo, and that's where a lot of their songs derive their inspiration from.
An exciting music. I very much look forward to hearing them. And the other thing is, I mean, Redda, you know this, that over here in the UK we hear so little from the other side of the world. It's very interesting.
Especially in musically speaking. I mean, some ethnographic studies, are made and we can see documentaries, but for some reason they fail to show their music, for some reason.
Yes, I think that this the music from certainly my side of the world, and, well, I'm Australian, but from Melanesia and Polynesia, the fact that we don't hear a lot of it is being redressed now by the Australian World Music Expo, which is now in its fourth year this year. And this is where I heard Narasirato, Frank Yama, who I'll be talking about. And I just think there is so much rich music that is just not being tapped into. It's incredibly exciting that it's finally being opened up and being brought over.
And it's indigenous music.
Absolutely.
That you're talking about from that part of the world.
That's right.
Jane, you just mentioned Frank Yama from Australia. So tell us about him and what are we going to hear?
Well, Frank Yama is one of Australia's most talented contemporary performers, and he happens to also be a Pitjantjatjara man from Australia's central desert. He's a singer-songwriter. He sings in English and in language. His influences are everything from country music to a whole litany of Indigenous performers.
And what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear Kunkka Kutcha.
Kunkka Kutcha by the Australian singer Frank Yama. That's from his album Countryman, which is on the label One Talk Music, and that will be out, or at least available through proper distribution in the UK in a week or so. And he's going to be appearing at the City of London Festival this summer on the 7th of July. So, again, Jane, the music sounds quite, as you say, like this is a very strong kind of country influence, but there's something else very powerful going on there. It's really very
beautiful. I think what's so brilliant about Frank is that his voice is just filled with emotion, and you can really tell that he's lived, and he's been in jail, he's lived on the streets, he's battled alcoholism, he's come up against a lot of problems that beset Indigenous Australians. So he really knows what he's singing about. Plus, he's actually an initiated elder.
What exactly does that mean?
That means that he's very respected within his Indigenous community. He's gone through a series of initiations. He has a wisdom where he actually will feel sorry for the uninitiated, you know, for white Australians that really aren't privy to his world. But the flip side of that, of course, is that he may well be kicked off a tram for not having a tram fare in Melbourne, or so he lives in two worlds basically.
I mean, this duality between the folk American music sound and the very straightforward vocal
and singing in an Indigenous language as well.
Yes, and about also Indigenous Australian issues. I think it works quite well. Although at first you feel a bit awkward about, you know, the disparity perhaps between the music and the lyrics and the language as well. But after a while, it gets into you and it works quite well.
It is incredibly powerful, and the whole album, it's one for heavy rotation, I think.
You're listening to World Roots on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Duran, and my guests Jane Cornwell and Reda El-Mawi. Before we move from Australia to Egypt, where, Reda, you've just been, We're going to have a quick word about a world music film that's certainly going to be making great waves here, and it will be in cinemas across the UK from the end of this week. The film Benda Bilili follows the Congolese band's rise to fame from their practice sessions at the Kinshasa Zoo to festival stages in Europe. Here's what happened the first time record producer Vincent Kenis took his recording equipment to the zoo at nighttime.
Solo e goma kakana voda kome Ko solo le goma kakana terese Yango arangana koma na ndenge nanga Yango arangana koma na ndenge nanga Nazwi na le, nazwi te na vandio Motona motona chance na
The song Margarite, and that's a clip by Staff Benda Bilili from the film Benda Bilili, which will be out across the UK in cinemas from the end of this week. And not only do we hear the frogs of Kinshasa Zoo, but we also hear the trademark Santonge, which is a one-string homemade tin can instrument played by the wonderful Roger, who's such a character.
I love Roger.
In this. What an extraordinary film. I was in tears several times, and I ended up thinking that this is a film that actually everybody in the whole world should see. Not only because it's beautifully put together, but because it just gives such insight into human nature and how people can rise out of such hardship and misery and make their lives joyful through music.
And particularly, I think, coming from Kinshasa, where it's just this madhouse, really. It's a city that really doesn't know what direction it's going in. And you have these guys that are disabled. A lot of them are polio victims, and they live in a gang, effectively, on a roundabout in the middle of the city, and act as sort of paternal guides to a lot of the street kids, and Roger being one of them. And he's taken on board by Ricky, who's the main guy behind Staff Benda Bilili, and together, and I think their fortitude and their resilience and their absolute one-eyed belief that they're going to be successful is really, really phenomenal, and that's an incredible testament.
And you know, there's that poignant moment right at the beginning where Ricky is singing in the residence for disabled people, and he's saying, you know, mothers, please vaccinate your children, because I am the result of not being vaccinated. I got polio, and you must do something about it. And
well, I think that these are the two filmmakers as well. Their story was quite phenomenal because they actually lived with the staff. I mean, they spent, I think, 6 years making this film and really living as they lived. And you know, as we've said,
that
we didn't
comes
have
across,
this, and it really comes across. And I think that they all became, the notion of family here is incredibly important. You know, there's Roger's relationship with Ricky and but certainly with the filmmakers as well, and they don't put themselves in the film, but you know, their presence is clearly there.
Because there are constantly comments about, oh, who's that white cameraman with you? And Ricky gets really irritated.
Really annoyed, yes.
Buzz off.
Apparently they were arrested quite early on by Congolese police, and the staff charged the police station in their wheelchairs and they were released.
That's a great story. Well, the film Benda Bilili, which, by the way, won an award at the Cannes Film Festival last year, will be out in the UK at cinemas from this Friday, the 18th of March. This is World Roots on BBC Radio 3, and well, it's been impossible to miss the extraordinary events that have been occurring across the Middle East and North Africa over the past couple of months. the protest movements in Tunisia and Egypt that saw the resignation of President Ben Ali and President Hosni Mubarak, as well as the continuing uprisings in Libya. And Reda Elmawi, you are a reporter for the BBC Arabic service, and you're also an Egyptian music enthusiast, and you happen to be in Tahrir Square.
Absolutely, yes. I spent 2 weeks in Egypt, and I spent 4 nights, actually, in Tahrir Square. Tahrir means liberation, and it's quite an evocative name for all the events that happened there. It was the focal point for this revolution that swept the whole of Egypt, not only Cairo or the big cities.
Reda, I know that you did a bit of recording while you were in Tahrir Square.
Yes, yeah. We're going to hear now one of the many dramatic moments I've witnessed and I recorded while I was in Tahrir. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning. Things were more or less quiet there. There were some people who were wounded from the previous night. The spirits were quite high, but at the same time, people were very alert for things that might happen at any moment. What we're going to listen to is the sounding of the alert around the entrances of Tahrir Square, or Midan Tahrir, like they call it there. It has 5 or 6 main entrances, completely barricaded with metallic boards, and some people who are watching the other streets leading to the square, whenever they notice people coming in, thugs who belong to the regime, carrying perhaps Molotov and weapons and knives and maybe guns, they tap on these metallic boards to invite people to come to the entrances and to the barricades to protect the square from being invaded.
That recording, Reda, is really extremely evocative of what it must have been like to be in that square.
And the sound that we heard in the microphone was part of what they called in the square Radio El Midan, or radio station of the square. And they were playing music, recorded music, and some of the musicians as well, they were using this radio station to entertain sometimes 2 million people in one place. The music was very much there in the square and also everywhere through the internet.
So music played a very important role then in Tahrir Square.
People were composing songs and writing lyrics and meeting up with people they've never met before, and they started making music in the square. And some of the products were recorded quite primitively on a mobile camera and put on YouTube. Others were very professionally made. We're going to listen to the song The Voice of Freedom, Sot Al Hurriya. It was done by two musicians, Hani Adil from downtown or West El Balad and Amir Aid from another band called Cairo Key. They met in the square. They decided to make music. They came the next day with a cameraman. They started filming people. They gave them big cardboards with all the lyrics written on them. And they made a musical video that's viral on the internet right now. Sot Al Hurriya, The Voice of Freedom.
نزلت وقلت أنا مش راجع وكتبت الدم في كل شارع سمعنا اللي ما كانش سامع واتكسرت كل الموانع سلاحنا كان أحلامنا وبكرة واضح قدامنا من زمان بنستنى بندور مش لاقي مكاننا في كل شارع في بلادي صوت الحرية بينادي في كل شارع في بلادي صوت الحرية بينادي Whoa!
رفعنا راسنا في السماء والجوع ما بقاش بيهمنا اهم حاجه حقنا ونكتب تاريخنا بدمنا لو كنت واحد مننا بلاش ترغي وتقول لنا نمشي ونسيب حلمنا وبطل تقول كلمة أنا
Sot El Hureya, The Voice of Freedom, by the Egyptian musicians Hani Adel and Amir Eid. That is only available on internet, and we were kindly supplied with that copy by the musicians themselves. So the fact that that music is, I mean, it's really hot off the press.
Well, I watched it and thought it was absolutely mesmerising. And just to watch it, and you've got all these people that sort of are doing very spontaneously, holding these placards up and singing the words. And you've got fathers and daughters and street stall holders and old women and young men. But of course, I'm interested in what they're actually singing about.
The lyrics are about what's happening here and there. For instance, it's one of the verses says, I went down the street vowing not to return and wrote with blood on every street. Our voices could reach now those who couldn't hear them. We broke through the barriers. Our weapon was our dreams. That kind of lyrics. And also, it was the first time in living memory, I think, that there was such a massive uprising and protest without being watched over by the police because they vanished from the streets. This is why people brought on the whole family. Kids, newborn babies, elderly people, everyone was there because they know that the party is not going to be cut short by bullets.
It sounds to me like the song gave momentum to the event.
Absolutely, as well. And not only this kind of songs. I mean, there are other songs that are more classical. Some of them are rap music, like the song that was actually the name of the Tunisian Revolution by El General. His real name is Hamada Ben Amour. And his famous song, Rais Le Blad, you know, drove the police to arrest him and arrest his family for a few days.
But Reda, the point is, I think, that Egypt has a long tradition, doesn't it, of protest, of revolutionary songs.
Absolutely. The first recorded revolutionary songs were written in the 1920s by Said Darwish, who's considered as the true modernizer of Arabic music. He's the first composer who has written music, actually, because before they used to play it by ear. Also, he's the first one who did political musical operas. And he's the one who composed the Egyptian national anthem. And also, there is another very famous poet called Ahmed Fuad Nejm, who's still alive. He's 85 years old. He was in the square. And
he was in the Tahrir Square.
He was in Tahrir Square, despite of his old age. And he writes very inflammatory songs. And he was very known in the 60s and the 70s for his songs that they were composed on the site and performed by the proletariat of the time.
Red, I believe you've brought a clip with you from BBC Arabic Television.
Yes, BBC Arabic TV, they recorded one of the songs actually composed in the square as well. It goes in the very old tradition of protest songs, the one that was coined and started by the late Sheikh Imam Isa, a very famous protest singer. And he sang only the lyrics of the poet Ahmed Fuad Nejm. Nejm was actually present at this session in Arabic television. He was, let's say, overseeing the new generation of protest singers. His name is Mustafa Saeed. He's singing the lyrics of a Palestinian poet called Tamim al-Marghouti, and the song is Ya Masr Hanet, or Egypt, We're Getting There.
Ya مصر هانت وبانت كلها كم يوم نهرنا نادي ونهار الندل مش باين يا مصر هانت وبانت كلها كم يوم نهرنا نادي ونهار الندل مش باين الدولة مفضلش فيها غير شوية شوم لو مش مصدق تعالى عالميدان عيني يا مصر هانت وبانت كلها كم يوم نهرنا نادي ونهار النجل مش باين الدولة مفضلش فيها غير شوية شوم لو مش مصدق تعالى عالميدان عين يا ناس مفيش حاكم إلا من خيال محكوم واللي حيقعد في بيته بعدها خاين اللي حيقعد كأنه سلم التنين للأمن بإيديه وقال له هم ساكنين فين وصلت لضرب الرصاص عالخلق في الميادين حتى الجساس حجزوها منهم خايفين يا مصر أصبحنا أحياء وميتين مساجين فاللي حيقعد في بيته يبقى مش مفهوم واللي حينزل إلهي حارس وصاين يا مصر هانت وبانت كلها كم يوم نهرنا نادي ونهار النادي اللي مش باين
The voice and oud playing of Mustafa Said, and that comes from a clip recorded by BBC Arabic TV. That song translates as Egypt, we're getting there, and it was composed in Tahrir Square. Reda, very traditional sound, very unlike the previous track that you played, Sot El Hureya.
Absolutely, very, very different. Although I have to say that all the modern singers, they know by heart all the traditional protest songs written by Ahmed Fuad Najm, who, as I said, was present at this session. And this song is right in the tradition of this poetry. The lyrics also are very, very evocative. He says, Egypt, we're getting there. It's only a matter of days. Our morning will be bright and the day of the villain will be dark. He also said something about Mubarak. That was before he stepped down. He said he's a guest in a nice suit who came uninvited. He stayed for 30 years, not saying why he's staying. And he intends to leave the seat for his genius son. Egypt, we're getting there. It's only a matter of days.
Well, hard-hitting lyrics, great lyrics, very prophetic. And thank you both for sharing with us some music that isn't released yet, but that's absolutely current and totally relevant to what's going on around the world right now. This is World Roots on BBC Radio 3. And for more information on the music played on this programme, visit the world pages of the Radio 3 website. Now, more from our session with Garifuna artist Aurelio Martinez. He has a new album out. It's called La Rubella, produced by Ivan Duran, the man who's brought so much Garifuna music to the world through his Stone Tree label. The Garifuna people are the descendants of escaped slaves from West Africa and Amerindians of the Caribbean. And their music reflects this cross-Atlantic blend of influences. They now live along the Caribbean coast of Central America in Honduras, where Aurelio's from, Belize and Guatemala. And Aurelio is a champion of their traditional music. So here he is, Aurelio Martinez with his song Maya Huaba.
Maya huwa ba ira huwa, mayaloba na muleluba mayaloba ira huwa mayaloba na muleluba kame bani renu yao mayahona kame bani genu kame bani renu yao mayahona kame bani genu nyudura mama lari papa ai Yudunga mama, lariki papa, himetanyu yadina. Yudunga mama, lariki papa, ai duguna buga, babe. Yudunga mama, lariki papa, himetanyu yadina. Maya huwa ba na muleluba Maya huwa ba ira huwa Maya huwa ba na muleluba Maya huwa ba ira huwa Maya huwa ba na muleluba Maya huwa ba ira huwa Maya huwa ba na muleluba Mama, lariki papa, ai duguna buga. Nyuduga mama, lariki papa, himetanyu yadina. Nyuduga mama, lariki papa, ai duguna buga. Baba, nyuduga mama, lariki papa, himetanyu yadina. Ai bayanu anu. Wakula kuburi sandile, oh yawa. Di mure banu, wakula kuburi sandile, hey yawa. Ai bayenu anu, wakula kuburi sandile, oh yawa. Baba, bayenu anu, wakula kuburi sandile, hey yawa. Yudunga mama, lari papa, ai tuwana buga. Nyuduga mama, lariki papa, himetanyu yadina. Nyuduga mama, lariki papa, ai duguna buga, babe. Nyuduga mama, lariki papa, himetanyu yadina.
Thank you.
Mayahwaba, a song which means don't cry in the Garifuna language, and that was sung by Aurelio Martinez, who also plays acoustic guitar, and Carlos Castillo, who plays bass and claves, the percussion sticks. And they're here with us in the World Roots studio. It's a great privilege. Aurelio, this song is really about the Garifuna culture and about the problems of Garifuna culture, but also it's a celebration of this unique Central American people that you're one of. So what is life like in Honduras as a Garifuna?
This song is very special because it's talking about a problem we have in all community around Central America, around the world, AIDS.
AIDS.
Everybody know about this problem. Everybody have some parent dying and for this problem. So this history is very special because when I sing this song, I feel the song because it's very sad.
Aurelio, the Garifuna population lives across several countries in Central America. You are from Honduras, and I understand that it's 10% of the people of Honduras are Garifuna, but it's a marginalized culture.
It's culture, yes. I come into the political life in Honduras. I am a first congressman in my country.
Because you're the first Garifuna congressman?
Congressman in 211 years.
Really?
Yeah. I do that because I know we have to include in the power this community, like indigenous too. Because
You have to represent the Garifuna.
Yeah, the Garifuna people in the Congress. So I have to teach to other people it's be possible to be and the power.
So you're like a role model for Garifuna.
Yeah. And now we have a minister of the indigenous and black people in the government in my country.
And is he Garifuna?
The force, yes, Garifuna.
Oh, we very have, good.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
that's excellent.
So we have a Garifuna Day in Honduras. We have a Garifuna Month in Honduras.
So things are getting better, would you say, for the Garifuna?
Yes.
They're improving.
Yeah.
Because Garifuna culture was made a UNESCO site of intangible heritage, which was an important thing to signal the fragility of Garifuna culture.
It's a signal because we have a lot of things bad happened to the Garifuna people to lose this culture. I see one big thing, the religion.
Religion? What, you see that as a threat to Garifuna culture?
Yeah.
How is religion, which religion?
Evangelic.
And why is that a threat to Garifuna culture?
Because for these people...
For the evangelists.
Evangelist. It's diabolic, the religion maternal for Garifuna.
Ah,
diabolic. And
so they say it's the...
You don't have to dance. You don't have to drink nothing, alcohol. You don't have... Wow. Maybe 50% Garifuna people evangelic.
So what you're saying is that the whole idea of indigenous Garifuna religion is really important to your identity.
Yeah.
So by losing that religion and by losing your music, you're actually losing a lot of your own identity.
We need help to keep this culture. Because
to
the
pass
young,
down the to new pass. Generations, yes.
Andy Palacio know about this thing before he died.
Andy Palacio was your great friend and a wonderful musician from Belize, Garifuna musician.
So Andy Palacio bring me to Belize to sing to young people in the day and have a concert in the night every year when he live. I'm working in this way because I coming back to do Garifuna music because it's a good way to do something good for example to the young people. In Honduras, we have to wait maybe too much time to recognize our culture and my country. The good example to Garifuna position is Belize. I like Belize because everybody recognize this culture like his identity.
The best known music from Belize is Garifuna music.
Yes,
it's Punta Rock.
It's Punta Rock music. So when I come into Belize, I feel like Garifuna home, Garifuna house.
So... time for another song, Aurelio.
Uh-huh.
What will you play?
Jange, Jange. It's a beautiful song. Jange, I'm talking about my brother. He's a fisherman. Somebody give him some potion and some food. And maybe
he was poisoned.
Yeah, poisoned. And he died.
This is a lament for your brother.
Yes, my brother.
¶¶ ya pinya yebe halwa kwena bungu ba ya kira parana adeide gubome ya pinya yebe halwa kwena bungu ba ya kira parana lebu na bome nana imegi muguma hawa gugana anyate babu la bugarite nana imegi muguma hawa gugana anyate babu la bugarite ay ay la gari gari ti ay oi oi I want a party yange ay ay linusa oi oi bia pinya yebe halwa kwena bungu ba ya kira parana adeire gubome bia pinya yebe halwa kwena bungu ba ya kira parana lepu na bome nane imegi muguma wagugu gana anyate babu la bugarite nane imegi muguma wagugu gana anyate babu la bugarite ay ay la gari gari ti mau oi oi I want the bad guy ay ay hey mo te yange oi oi Gietali mama, loba ubaru, aluga surusi, labu barane. Gietali mama, loba ubaru, aluga surusi, labu barane. Gietali mama, loba ubaru, aluga surusi, labu barane. Gietali mama, loba ubaru, aluga surusi. La bubarane,
gari
gari
di yangi,
gari gari di yangi, lo ba ubaru, alu susi, la bubarane,
yangi yangi yangi
lo ba ubaru,
alu
susi, la bubarane, gari mama,
lo ba ubaru,
alu susi,
la bubarane,
gari mama,
lo
ba ubaru,
gari gari di.
La bubarane, gejeta di mama, lo ba ubaru, alu kusulusi. La bubarane, gejeta di mama, lo ba ubaru, alu kusulusi. La bubarane,
ay ay.
Yange, a song by Aurelio Martinez on acoustic guitar and lead vocals, with Carlos Castillo on bass and backing vocals. And that song, Yange, is one of the songs from your new album, from the album that's just out, called La Rubella. A beautiful song, a lament for your brother, as you were telling us. We've just heard you doing a live version of that song, but the album itself was recorded partly in Honduras, where you're from, and partly in Senegal.
Yes.
So tell me about the process of recording this album, and why did you record in Senegal?
Actually, we recorded this album in San Juan Tela in Honduras, around the beach. And Ivan Duran bring everything to Belize, to his studio.
That's Ivan Duran of Stone Tree Records.
Yeah, Stone Tree Record. So, in this time, okay, Ivan said, I want to finish Aurelio Martinez. That's it. We take out this album.
That's so finished. He'd already recorded you?
Yeah, ready.
And it was, you thought the album was finished?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then I have to finish my mentor time with Youssou N'Dour in Senegal.
The you role ex-
mentor and proteges.
So you were selected to be the protege of Youssou N'Dour.
Yeah, yeah. And I stand with Youssou N'Dour 1 year traveling around the world. And I went to Jazz Vienna Festival.
With Youssou N'Dour?
With Youssou N'Dour. And I went to Brazil and Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. I stand with Youssou N'Dour and Gilberto Gil sometime. It's a very beautiful experience. When it's finished.
When the mentor year was finished.
It's finished. I have to go into Senegal. We just under 1 month to stand with him and in his house to give me some tips about singing and everything.
And you were recording in Senegal?
In Senegal.
So the album, which you had thought was finished, was actually a new album began to be built on top of it in Senegal.
So, yes, because we opened the space and they're fixing everything and we got some space to use on dirt. At the same time, we connected Youssou N'Dour. Africa come to America, America come to Africa. So to reconnect. So it's a beautiful time. Since the first time the Garifuna music life have this opportunity.
I was wondering that. Has any other Garifuna musician ever been to Africa and recorded in Africa?
No, it's a first.
You are the
experience.
First.
Yeah, first experience.
Because what's interesting for me is when I listen to your music, I hear a little bit of Cuba, I hear a little bit of reggae, I hear a little bit of Creole music from the Central America. But actually what makes it totally different from any of those things is the sound of your language.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what makes it different.
Yeah. So the Garifuna people is very open. We hear in reggae, calypso, soca, and everything. So we Caribbean people, we are together as one. So because we hear reggae music a lot in our country. And maybe I go to Cuba and I love the Cuban music. So
so you're listening to all of those things, but you
now
make it your own.
Yes, because in my album I take something because I have something special because the Garifuna drum is very special. The sound very different like other drums around the world.
And the rhythms of the Garifuna drums, they come from your religious music, your indigenous religion.
Yeah, yes.
Which I guess is why it's important that religion must continue.
Yes, yes. When I come in to sing, everybody say, Aurelio Martinez singing. No, not me. Maybe I have a spirit behind me. I feel the other people help me when I sing because I feel something like different because when I finish to work on the stage, I'm an other man. So when I come
to you're transformed by your music.
Yes. I transform.
Your school of life music is is very clear from this beautiful album, La Rubella, and it's a great privilege to have you in the studio together with your fellow musician, Carlos Castillo. Yeah. Let's have one more piece of music, something from your album.
Bisienu. It's beautiful.
What does it mean, Bisienu?
I love you.
Wonderful. A love song by Aurelio Martinez and Carlos Castillo.
Anaya, un sueño a fallar. La de la piscina. aluga ibugambo luago bisheno anahaya luago yanu lewani be yara tugura buga mola lei imbere denu alamutegua lau bisheno Hinari galei honi bagaburingo.
Lise bekate ibao. Wow.
Wadu galite ya gibi.
Wadu galite zuma lusi duran. Ay ay ay.
Nadega bisheno, anaya suena afya. Nadega bisheno, aloga ibuga bonito. Nadega bisheno, ahamba no yao. Nadega bisheno, tuago begira ma. Nadega bisheno. Let the Gabizino Ahabano Yao. Let the Gabizino Ahabano Yao. Let the Gabizino Halogabu Abuluma Bugutili. Let the Gabizino Arahaya. Let the Gabizino. Lado da piscina. Ai, baby. Lado da piscina. Alô, da rua boa. Lado da piscina.
Bisienu, a love song by Aurelio Martinez, accompanied by Carlos Castillo here in the World Roots studio. And thank you so much, Aurelio.
Thank you.
For joining us. And we can hear more from Aurelio when he'll be coming with his whole band. They have a date in late July at the Barbican, and they'll also be appearing at the WOMAD Festival at Charlton Park. So do look out for that, as well as this excellent album, La Rubella, which is out on Real World. Thanks to all my guests today, and next week on World Roots, Banning Air heads out on location with master accordionist Chango Spasiuk to record the music of the northeast of Argentina, the chamamé.
And that was Lucy Duran. World Roots is produced by Peter Meanwell. And as Lucy mentioned, you can find information about the music played in the programme and links to episodes of Music Planet on the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3/world-music. Now here's Michael Barclay.
My guest on Private Passions tomorrow is the nation's favourite publican. It's the pub landlord, otherwise known as a very civilised chap called Al Murray. When he's not touring Britain with his loud-mouthed alter ego, he's been going back to his roots as an Oxford history graduate, looking into the art and culture of Germany in a recent BBC TV series. And next Monday, he's joining the BBC Concert Orchestra at the Royal Albert Hall as one of the hand-picked celebrity kazoo band on Radio 3's Big Red Nose show in aid of comic relief. Private Passions with my guest, Al Murray, tomorrow lunchtime at 12 o'clock.
Well, now on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Jazz Library with Alan Shipton, which this week features an archive interview with the drummer Alan Ganley.
Yesterday would have been the 80th birthday of jazz drummer Alan Ganley, who died 3 years ago this month. Today's programme looks back on his life and selects the best of his recorded work, including compositions like this one. Don't mention it. Thank you. Mention It, played by the John Dankworth Quintet on the Q-Note album JD5, recorded in 2002 and composed by today's Jazz Library subject, Alan Ganley. The piece is also on the 4-CD Dankworth anthology I Hear Music on the Salvo label. Alan was on drums with John Haller piano, Alec Dankworth bass, Mark Nightingale trombone and Sir John Dankworth himself on alto saxophone. Alan's association with Sir John was a long one, going back to 1954 when he joined the first Dankworth big band.
All the musicians were hand-picked by John, I remember, because one of those rare occasions where you start afresh with a band, you know, which is great. You don't suddenly join it when the band's been going a few years. Everyone started together and had lots of rehearsals. A place, I can't remember where it was, near where John lived. So we rehearsed there a lot, and all the sections used to go off, like the saxes would go off in one room, the trombone another, all rehearse their parts, and then we'd all come together and play through the things. And the writing was marvellous. I mean, John's such a fantastic writer. It was very original and really very, very good, you know.
Struck me that the principle that he established with the Seven, which was that the majority of the music would be written by the band members. I mean, in that case, it was him and Jimmy Duker and one or two other people. He sort of kept that idea going with the big band.
Well, there were some other arrangers. I know Johnny Keating did some things, and I think Eddie Harvey. But I don't remember a lot of other writers, Connors. I think it was nearly all John's stuff.
John Dankworth Big Band and Bugle Call Rag from June the 1st, 1954. Originally, that appeared on the band's very first LP from 7 On, issued by EMI, and it's most recently reappeared on the I Hear Music boxed set from Salvo. We'll stay with that set to hear Alan Ganley in another example of John Dankworth's writing for the band, in this case his reworking of Juan Tiesel's Perdido, originally recorded by Duke Ellington.
He was a big Ellington fan. And he did write for the people that in his band and allowed them to sort of to express themselves, you know. He was also very keen on the aspect of the audience looking at the band. You know, we all had different coloured jackets. Well, I think the rhythm section were in orange, you know. In fact, he even got me to put lights in my drums. So when I did a drum solo, Eric Dawson, the bass player, had a little sort of console. And when I'd hit one tom-tom, it would light up, you know. Then I'd hit the bass drum and that would light up, you know. That didn't last too long because I didn't like it very much. And also, like when we did the Jazz Jamboree, I remember we played a number at the end and everybody, apart from the rhythm section, of course, came down to the front of the stage and they all had hanging from their instruments a letter, and gradually it built up and it read something, which I can't remember what it read now, but, you know, something like congratulations or hello everyone or something, you know. I mean, all these things, it was all done things like that, but all very musical. Everything he did was very, very musical, of course. He had one thing with the saxes. I mean, it wasn't like the Billy May sort of slurping thing, but he had some kind of thing going on that I think he was trying to get that across as a, not a gimmick, but a sort of a showpiece for the band. I don't know if it ever really caught on, you know. But that original band, I thought, was great. I mean, there was Eddie Blair playing the trumpet, who was fantastic. In fact, John and I went to the States in 1955 to sort of promote the band's records and stuff, you know, and to get it more known in the States. Because, I mean, the Ted Heath Band was known in the States very much, and I think John did get his name over there, you know, which he did do, of course, eventually.
Perdido, in John Dankworth's arrangement from 1954, played by his big band, with solos by John himself on alto, Keith Christie, trombone, Tommy Whittle, tenor, Eddie Blair hitting some high notes on trumpet, and the reed section displaying their collective prowess, as described by the subject of today's programme, Alan Ganley, the band's drummer. Full personnel on the Jazz Library website, that's bbc.co.uk/radio3/jazzlibrary. As well as recording instrumental pieces with the band, Alan also made discs with its major singer, Cleo Lane.
in those days, they had three vocalists, Frank Holder, Tony Mansell, and Cleo, of course, and they would sit on the side of the stand like they did in those days. And then when we play a Latin American number, Cleo would pick up the old maracas, do a bit on the maracas, which was a bit of a laugh, you know. And then she'd come up and sing a number, and then she'd sit down again for a little while and then come up again. That was how it was in those days, yeah.
You mentioned the way that the band and John's sense of presentation of the band to an audience was very important. But of course, Cleo had that skill as well. She was somebody who, it struck me, knew immediately how to connect with
an audience. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, right from even with the Seven, I used to go and watch. I was a fan then of the Seven in about 1949, 50 or something. I was still in the Air Force. But I used to go to watch the Seven. I loved the Seven. And Cleo was such a fantastic singer then, and great personality that, you know, I mean, she just lit up the stage like she does today. I mean, she's singing absolutely incredibly well today. I can't believe it, you know.
Strange something to my heart.